Genesis 15, 1 to 21. I confess I've had some difficulty in fixing on a title for this short discourse. I've decided to call it The Spiritual Life. But I've been looking at words like fellowship with God and God speaking to man and man speaking to God, but I have only so many characters to put into the title. I'm only allowed so many. And so I've fixed on The Spiritual Life. Now, of course, the record here is of extraordinary dealings, God dealing with Abram, giving him his covenant and all the rest. So there are details here, particulars here, which are very special indeed to this episode, but there are principles here which come over into the spiritual life for us today, brother and sister. It is very much as the conversion of Saul of Tarsus as he goes into Damascus and becomes Paul. The circumstances of Paul's conversion are remarkable one-offs, of course they are. But the principle of his conversion, the principles underneath this conversion, are essential. Unless a man is converted, unless a woman is converted, whoever is not converted will perish. We must be converted. But we're not going to see blinding lights, perhaps, or be struck to the ground and all the rest of it. Well, it's the same as this conversation here, this communion between God and Abraham. But the principles, I say, are the same. The point is, what we have here is that God comes and talks with man. God talks to Abraham, and Abraham talks back to God. Not in the wrong sense, but he talks with God. Abraham is called the friend of God. And this is it. Friends have communication. Friends walk together. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? But if they are agreed, don't they walk together? We talk about you wouldn't want to go on a walking holiday with somebody. He's not that kind of companion. But God and Abraham are friends, companions. And it's a lesson for us, brother and sister. God communicates to us. He communicates with us. He communes with us. He walks with us. He talks with us. You know it to be true, don't you? There's that hymn, He walks with me. And He talks with me. And He tells me, I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Is that fanciful? No. There is communion with God. God communicates to man. He talks with man. He walks with man. It's not second-hand experience. It's a first-hand experience. Look at the fact here. You get it in verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. Yes, it was in a vision. I'm not appealing for visions. I said it's extraordinary. But the word of the Lord came to Abraham, and he said to him. And then you get it again in verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to him. You get it in verse 5. God took Abraham outside and said, God said to Abraham, and again in verse 5, then he said to him. You get it in verse 7. He also said to him. You get it in verse 9. So the Lord said to him. Verse 13, verse 18. Goes on and on. God is talking with Abraham. He's speaking to him. And God speaks to us today, brother and sister, does he not? Does he not speak to us through his word? He speaks to us by his spirit inwardly as we read his word. The spirit brings the word to light. It brings the word to life. It makes us live. We see. We understand. Now what kind of things is God talking to Abraham about? Well, he's giving him promises. He's giving him assurance. He's giving him statements of facts. He's speaking of himself, of his power, of his grace, of his love. He's offering comfort to this man. He's commanding him. It's a whole range of things here. The Lord commanded him. The Lord promised him. The Lord comforted him. The Lord assured him. There's a conversation going on here. And God is repeatedly speaking to Abraham. God offers you, brother and sister. Brother, sister, he offers you comfort, assurance. He instructs you. The word of God is profitable for instruction, reproof, rebuke, comfort, consolation, all the other blessings that are in the word of God for us. Above all, it speaks of Christ to us, of course. We have so much more than Abraham. But at least Abraham had this conversation with God. But it's not all one-sided. Abraham also speaks to God. God speaks to Abraham, but Abraham speaks to God. Verse 2, but Abraham said. And verse 3, and Abraham said. And verse 8, but Abraham said. And I notice the buts there. I have this difficulty, Lord. I can't see it, Lord. I can't understand it, Lord. How will this happen? He has his problems and difficulties and doubts, and he has his fears, and he argues in the right way with God. He reasons with God. He communes with God. He believes God, because he's going to talk to God, and he does talk to God, and he reasons with him. This is real conversation. Do you talk to God, brother and sister? Do you pray to God? Do you commune with God? Do you show him your fears, your doubts, your questions? Do you ponder his word? Do you ask him about it? Unbeliever listening to this, you'll think we're mad, won't you? But then you don't see. You see, you're walking by sight. You can't see by faith. But those who live in the faith of Jesus walk with God. They talk with God, and God talks with them. Notice where the initiative is, though. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. It wasn't Abraham starts the conversation here. It was God. It was God who began with us. As believers now, once we were lost and dead in sin, but God began with us. He rescued us. And he communicates to us still. And he is the sovereign Lord. He takes the initiative. What is the substance of this conversation? Well, I think verse 1 is one of the most amazing verses in the Bible in some senses. Let me read it to you. After this, notice that, after this, after what? After defeating the kings, after the tremendous victory, after Abraham came out on top, showed himself to be master in this area, after this, the word of the Lord came to him, came to Abraham in the vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. And he goes on to speak of the covenant he's making with him. He makes promises to him. He speaks of Egypt, but he speaks of the growth of his descendants, of his children, the spread of his progeny. These are tremendous promises he makes, amazing promises. But he opens with this, do not be afraid. Abraham afraid, he's just won a tremendous war. We all have fears and doubts, and Abraham has them. And Abraham's doubt and fear is this, but I'm childless. All this prosperity is coming to nothing. Oh no, says God, and he makes his covenant with him. But he has his fears, and his doubts, and his questions, and his worries, and his anxieties. The best of us do. I had an experience several years ago when I began to make acquaintance with a believer. And we were in conversation, and we had spiritual conversation. And then one day this believer said to me, I'm never afraid. We were talking about fear. And this believer replied to me, I am never afraid. That should have been a red rag to me. A red flag. Why? Never afraid? Abraham's afraid. Fear not comes, I think somebody has said it comes 365 times in the Bible. I'm not sure whether that's true or not. Fear not. One for each day of the year. Because we need it, brother and sister. Are you afraid? Don't be afraid to admit it. We are afraid. Do you have doubts? Don't be afraid to admit it. You have your anxieties. Of course we do. I know there are sins and troubles and the wrong of us and all the rest of it. But we have them. God knew that Abraham had them. And he came. And the comfort for Abraham was, in the covenant, yes, in the promises, yes, but I am. It's in God himself. There is our comfort. It's in Christ. Tremendous passage this, that God knows that he sees our troubles, and he already knows our fears and doubts, and he offers us rest, and he offers us peace, and he offers us joy, because he communicates to us, and he communes with us. Will you listen to him today, brother, sister? Perhaps somebody listening to me is in special fear, doubt, worry, anxiety, loss, loneliness, bereavement, whatever. Learn from chapter 15 of Genesis. Learn that though you are afraid, though you are doubting, though you are fearful, though you are anxious, though you are cast down, look to God, look to Christ. May the word of God come to you with power. The promises of God, God himself, brother and sister, listen. Receive the promise. Talk to God. Commune with him. Open your heart like Hezekiah. Open the letter. Open your heart to God. Explain your fears and doubts. Confess them. Confess your sins. And he will commune with you. These circumstances are extraordinary, but the principles abide. And though, unbeliever, you think I've been talking through the back of my head, these are realities. Abraham proved it so. I have proved it so. And millions of us have proved it so. And I can say to you, oh, taste and see. And you will prove it so, too. Commune with God through Jesus Christ. Talk to him now. Tell him you're a sinner. Trust the Savior. And I promise you, God will walk with you and talk with you. This is the spiritual life. And it's not just one-off. It comes again and again and again. You see, we have sores as believers. We have troubles. But God has a wonderful ointment for every sore. And here Abraham finds that God heals and comforts him in his troubles and distress. This, I say, is the spiritual life.